So we're in Sefer Elishua. We're in the chapter about Yirat Shamayim. Every person has a natural Yira. Meaning when we speak about Yirat Shamayim, that's already when you've channeled it to Hashem. The Yira that you naturally have, you've channeled to Hashem. But every person has a natural Yirat Shamayim. There are some people who don't believe, or they claim they don't believe in Hashem. So they haven't channeled their Yirah towards Hashem. But nevertheless, they have Yirah of something that hasn't stopped functioning and working within them. It's a mechanism which works within a person, whether you it's not something you choose, something which is automatic. In the same way as that you breathe, in the same way as when you're hungry, you feel hungry, your body tells you. So too, the trait of Yirah is something which constantly functions within man. Whether or not you've chosen to activate it or not, whether or not you're religious or not. For who nimna mi la'avor averot umarusan bahanagato harbe yoter mimash de'otav drushot imenu. In fact, a person has an inner strength to hold back from doing things that he defines as inappropriate. He has an inner restraint, an inner strength, whether or not he's a great believer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu or not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu almost built in with us the power of Gevura. The power of being able to restrain from doing things which are inappropriate. Yirah merasenet et kol ha'adam. Because what Yirat Shamayim actually is, it's a force which gives us the ability to hold ourselves back. In a sense, it's like a leash, it's like a lead, it's like a muzzle. It's an inner muzzle, an inner force that gives us the power, the ability to hold back from something inappropriate. Uvemidash yitzre ha'adam ha'shfeilim biyoteh merusanim. Vemidah zo po'elet v'kirbo yirah ativit zot. Man has base desires, and that pulls him to go and do things. And then he has yira, which gives him the power to hold back. Now we could talk in a minute now, not in the context of religion. Someone who's not religious at all, and there's some food that he wants, and he says, that's inappropriate, I'll hold back, for health reasons, or for diet reasons, or whatever it is. So the desire to go for something is the base physical side of man, which isn't necessarily bad. It's only bad if it takes control of you. It's a good thing inherently. It's a good thing. It's giving you the power to be able to sustain yourself and take care of yourself. So it could be a good thing. However, it's only a good thing when it's in measure, meaning that you have yirah. And yirah here we're defining as self-restraint, the power to hold back. So you see that the midah of yirah is something which is irrespective of religion. It's a power within man to have restraint from things that are base. And one holding themselves back from just doing chesed with themselves in an inappropriate way. Chesed is the one extreme of giving and giving and giving to others, to yourself, no boundaries. And yirah is the opposite extreme where there are boundaries and you're able to restrain and hold back. Obviously, that too much is inappropriate as well. Let's just see how the idea of yirah is something which is even above Torah and mitzvot. You see, the Torah speaks harshly against Amalek. They didn't have yirat Elokim. Now, why do they have to have Yirat Elokim? If Yirat Elokim is a mitzvah that the Jewish people have, to have fear of God, then why are Amalek held accountable for not having Yirat Elokim? Because you see that it's something natural, it's something innate. It's innate that man has a sense of boundaries and he's able to recognize that's almost an innate moral that Hashem gave us, that if we are sensitive to, we'll be able to restrain from doing inappropriate things. And therefore Amalek are held accountable for the fact that they didn't have Yirat Elokim. Also Avram Avinu said, she's my sister. They said, why did you claim she's your sister? You were lying. Why did you say that? So Avram Avinu explained, because I saw there wasn't Yirat Elokim in this place. How did he tell there was no Yirat Elokim? How was Avram sure they were going to kill him if it would be his wife? And that's why he had to lie and say that it was his sister. How did he know there was no Yirah there? So Rashi comments and says, the Alishor explains, et ishto bevaday kho imenu. Either way, they're going to take his wife. That you can't hold back, because this is a place without yirah. Elagam oto hayargu, but they're also going to kill him if they find out the husband. And therefore, just so they wouldn't kill him, he had to claim that it was his sister. How did he know that? Because there's no yirat Elokim. If there's no yirat Elokim, it must be they're going to kill and they're going to take the woman and have relations with her. Now, quoting Rashi, How did he know that? How did he come to that conclusion that these people were like that, they would do that? Because anyone who would come to the town, they wouldn't ask him, do you have food, do you have drink? They would ask him, is this your wife or is this your sister? Achotchahi. Why were they asking him? He saw from there were no boundaries. I mean, they were willing to say, if it's your wife, I'm going to take her. Meaning, it's a natural boundary that if a man is married to a woman, then that means that woman is off limits to other people. And a natural boundary, a natural yira would be, there's a boundary there, I respect the boundary. When a person doesn't have yira, it means they don't respect the boundaries. We've given here the mashal before of being at a traffic light. We've given that mashal that yira is where you respect boundaries. You get to a red light in your car, there's a boundary, you respect the boundary. That's yira. You're not nervous and trembling, as we said, but there's a boundary which you respect. That's even irrespective of God for the moment. It's something innate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, a recognition of boundaries and an innate respect for boundaries. Someone who breaks those, it means he's not even being natural to the innate goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. He's lost his derech eretz, his sensitivity. Lichora shkia b'derech eretz great. Avraham Avinu could have just said that was just, you know, not polite. He didn't grow up in England. But however, Avraham took a maskana. He realized that it must be these people are immoral to the degree, because they don't have boundaries. They're going to come and kill me. And therefore he had to lie. And that's all from not having yirah. So yirah, you see, is a trait of having self-restraint, having recognition of boundaries and respecting those boundaries. It's something which is innate. Obviously, as a person grows in their yirat shamayim, then they bring in all of the Hashem to that boundary. They're able to recognize more and more. This is not a correct heksha. I have yirah. I won't eat it. That word may be Lashon Hara, it may offend someone, I'll bring that into my boundary and I won't step over that line. The more you learn of Torah, of Halacha, of Musar, then the more you're able to use those boundaries in an effective way. But those boundaries exist even before you get into Torah and all, before you're aware of Halacha. Those boundaries always exist. The question is what you use those boundaries for and what you don't use them for. I remember as a youth, a conversation that someone had with someone else, where even according to the level of not religious society, there is a respect for certain boundaries which were in place. And as a teenager, this person was saying, let's be anti-establishment, let's break the rules. I know that that's a normal level of restraint that people have, but let's go beyond that just for the sake of proving our independence and go beyond that. And the other one was a little more moral and said, I think that would offend the other person. And I think that would be rude. And I think that would be stepping over the boundaries. If you want to do your own thing privately, that's one thing. But to do it against someone else and to harm someone else, that's beyond the rules. That's beyond the limits. And the person respected it and they stayed back. And that was someone not religious, not interested in religion, but even from a non-religious perspective, they were able to have a sense of boundaries. There's an amazing book, which I recommend reading during Ben Azmanim, called Incredible. That's the name of the book, Incredible. And it is absolutely incredible, this story. It's a true story of a Jew who lives in Ra'anana. And every chapter in that book is like an entire world in and of itself and a fascinating read. And he's come out with incredible part two. I can't imagine what more he has to say about his life, but it's an unbelievable story. So anyway, at one point, in the many, many stations of his life, he was living in New York and he was in the mafia. And he was being trained in the mafia step by step. He was getting more and more into it. And there came a point where they wanted to test if he really is made of steel. And then he says that they gave him a test to do something, which he did. He doesn't write what it is. But he writes that he went beyond a moral level which he never thought he would go beyond. And when he did that, he came back to them and he said to them, I did it and I passed the test to prove that I'm made of steel, but never ever give me anything like that to do ever again, because I feel terrible that I did it. And they came and they beat him up very severely. And they said, you don't tell us our rules, we'll tell you the rules. And at that moment he realized he got into a situation which he's not going to be able to get out of. And he conscripted for the army, because he had to find a way to get out of it entirely. And he conscripted for the army, and then he didn't actually go to the army in the end, but through that he was able to escape. And that's just one mini, mini chapter of an amazing story of this individual. Rabbi Wallace, I think his name is now. It wasn't Rabbi then. Anyway, the point is that that's someone who at that time wasn't religious, didn't have religious values, but he was aware of a moral level which that would be a red line for him. And even within the world of the mafia, which is like there's no rules and you create your own rules, he had a sensitivity towards that would be inappropriate. Stealing cars for him wasn't inappropriate. That for him was not yet a red line. But this next act for him was a red line. And he had a sensitivity to that. When he saw he was about to break that, he realized, I'm losing my Yira. I'm losing my Yira at Shomayim. He may not have at that point attributed it to Hashem. But ultimately he had a sensitivity for having boundaries. Having a moral boundary. And that's Yira at Shomayim. That he had. If not calling it by its name. But he had. And he sensed, this is inappropriate. I'm not acting according to the level of Yira at Shomayim that I feel I can act at. And therefore he ran away from that situation. Incredible. Ve'yiten Elokim chokhma leShlomo tevuna harbe meod v'rachav leiv kechol asher al sfat hayam. The Gemara and Shabbos comments on that pasuk by Shlomo HaMelech receiving his wisdom. Rabbi Levi Omer, ma chol gader leyam. Af chokhmato gadra leShlomo. So the Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech's wisdom was like sand at the sea. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Levi says, why was it given that comparison? Because sand creates a boundary for the sea. The sea, in this case, could represent wisdom. But just like the water comes up and goes down at the tide, it would be inappropriate if there would be a tsunami. And if a person has an overflow of wisdom, that they're not able to put it into words and understand the right context where that wisdom needs to be used, when to speak, when to be quiet, when to apply different types of knowledge, when to hold back from knowledge, then it would just be a tsunami, and that would cause destruction. So part of the wisdom of Shlomo was the fact that he had chol. He had a recognition of the boundaries. If someone is so great, that then the ideas are so conceptual that it's not even relevant. Meaning, because they're not able to bring it down into very clear, cut, formed words of how to be able to be produce effective, productive words. It has to be able to be brought down. Sometimes people's ideas are so broad, they want to stay there. It's like, they love it. Wow, what an amazing idea. And they almost like feel bad to break it down and try and say words. They say, it limits the idea. I don't want to say it. It's too hard for me to say. But then what happens is that it doesn't affect this world in any way. They remain lofty. That's what happened with the Arizal. The Arizal, he didn't write down his teachings. He refused to write down his teachings because he said that when he tries to write them down, then it limits from the greatness of the idea. So his student, Rav Chaim Vital, and afterwards his son, Rav Shmuel Vital, then they say, but Rebbe, we're going to lose it, so we'll write it down. And the Arizal almost felt that you're destroying it if you write it down. Because as it is in its prime form, in its pristine form, it's much greater than when you put it into words. And that's true. That's true. But it's inaccessible if you don't do that. You have to make it accessible, otherwise it's just irrelevant, it gets lost. So there's a Yir'ah has boundaries. And that enables you to have what you have. Otherwise it just remains overwhelming. Nifla me'od. Ki kol chokhmato atzuma shimsha lo legeder et atzmo. Asher al yizeh ne'emar hein yirat Hashem hi chokhma. Hein beloshon yavamit, loshon yavani achat. Shlomo HaMelech used his wisdom in a way to give himself boundaries. One could use their wisdom to go beyond boundaries. For example, Shabbatai Tzvi was very, very intelligent, knew a lot of wisdom. He used his wisdom to break boundaries, to go beyond halacha, to permit things that are forbidden. He used his wisdom without boundaries. That's inappropriate. Shlomo HaMelech's wisdom gave him boundaries. He was able to understand through the wisdom that he had where to put those boundaries, how to lead a moral life. Kol gader katan shadam zocher litgader bo, hitalut gedola hi lo, v'hu margish et hitalut. When a person is able to put boundaries around himself, that will give him a step up and he is able to sense that. I'll just try and give a mashal for this. Let's say you're in medical school. So when you're in medical school, the first couple of years, you're learning very broad, general topics. Autonomy of the body. You can't do much with that yet. But you have to have it. You have to have the basis. You have to have the background. So as you're in that very broad first and second year of medical school, it's wonderful that you're learning all these many subjects, but it's not useful or productive. You're not going to be able to do anything useful in the world. You haven't risen up a level. As you then choose the specific area that you wish to go into, hand surgery, let's say, then okay, you're much more specific, you're able to focus, you're able to. But even then, there's many people who can do hand surgery and you're still not unique and maybe you're not even experienced. And then as with in-hand surgery, you go into even more specific detail and you go into tendons with in-hand surgery, now the more limitation that you had and the more specializing that you had, you'll be able to do something valuable in the world. Be able to be productive. When a person doesn't have boundaries, he's not able to produce. He's not able to be effective in his Yirat Shamayim. The more limitations that a person chooses to put upon himself, he takes upon himself another area of halacha that he's makpidon. He takes upon himself another area of Torah that he's learnt. He takes upon himself another hidur in a certain area. Then he becomes more and more and more focused on what's really important, which is the kavana, the inner world. Because as long as a person just broad in this area of halacha, I'm not so careful about that area of halacha, I'm not so careful about, there's no way he's going to be thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a deep way, because he's doing whatever he wants to do in all these areas. He's trying to see how it fits into his world, not that he's trying to fit into Hashem's world. But once he's already put those boundaries in place, not that he was forced to, but rather he chose to, once a person chooses to take on those areas, then the outer world is almost in place. What do you do now? Then you get to go deeper. You get to focus on why you're doing it all and think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So every geder, every area of Yirat Shemayim that you take upon yourself, and that could be in halacha or it could be in Yirat Shemayim midas orientation, hamatzaliach lerasenet atzmo, when a person's able to restrain himself, hold himself back in certain areas, whatever areas he chooses. For example, he has a desire to say a witty comment, and it's going to crack everyone up just at the right time. The other person said something a bit weak, a bit exposing, and he's going to jab in there with that knife of his tongue and say that perfect comment that's going to crack everyone off, it, albeit at the expense of the other person. But you know, it's banter, it's healthy. He does it to me, I do it to him. I know he's really crying inside, but he won't show it. He'll make a strong face as if he doesn't care. Which is the right time. But if you have Yirat Shamayim, you'll have the strength to be able to say, that would be funny, and I would get a lot of honor from all my friends by them laughing, but it's not worth it because at his expense. Yirat Shamayim, you're able to restrain. Hold back. It's a strength that you already have. But then as you choose to apply to that situation of being able to apply your Yirat Shamayim to not say an offensive comment, you've built yourself. You're stronger now. You've made an inner kinyan in your inner world. You are now in line with Hashem. Another example, someone does something that's not in line with your will. They opened the window or they closed the window. They took your book and they didn't put it back. They borrowed something without asking. Whatever, they didn't clear away something in your room or near your place. Whatever it was, everyone has their own pet peeves that really annoy them. And you know, sometimes it's hard to not say something. But you say, you know what, I will say something, but I'm just going to calm myself down. I'll say it in an effective way because it's not going to be productive if I just lash out at him now. It's just not going to be productive for him and not for me. It's just going to cause friction. Yirat Shamayim. Hold myself back. Okay, I'm ready. Do you mind returning the book when you finish? Yeah, sure, I'll return the book when I finish, for sure. Okay, fine, thanks. Oh, wow, that was amazing. It was pleasant, a nice interaction. I'm not being mavater here. I'm not being walked over. I'm going to say what's important to me, but in such a calm way, such a pleasant way, didn't cause any friction. Yirat Shamayim. I didn't just lash out as my anger rose up within me, as the temperament within me. I have Yirat Shamayim. I can pause, self-restraint. I'll say it in the right way, in the effective way, at the right time. Or b'tzchok. Or b'tzchok. You see someone doing something which is not appropriate, and you want to laugh at them. Someone tripped over, someone said a svarah which is ridiculous, really ridiculous. I mean, there's levels of ridiculous, but that's kindergarten. And you want to burst out laughing at them and just like say, what are you thinking? It's exactly the opposite of what the Gemara says in the last line and the next line, what the Rebbe said. It doesn't make any sense. Where did you get that from? Thomas the Tank Engine? Like, what svarah are you bringing out here? Hold yourself back. Don't laugh. Just say, how does that fit into the Rashi? Oh, once again, let me see. Oh, yeah, it doesn't fit into the Rashi. So what do you think it could mean? Once again. Oh, maybe it's that. Yeah, that works. Wow, look what happened there. You were able to... You don't have to be mevater. You don't want to leave someone with a wrong svara. You can guide them, but you don't have to laugh at them. Take self-restraint, because the natural response would be to burst out laughing. That would be the natural response. It's such a ridiculous svara. But wait, you're at Shemayim. I have self-restraint. I have self-restraint in many other areas. I always have to just check that I'm using that strength that I already have. I know that I already have in some other area. Let me just make sure that I'm applying it over here. I apply it over here, I'm successful. Yirat Shamayim. Self-restraint. Someone who does that, Yechol tekef lavchin rochavat dat penimit shehitvasvalo. Once you start doing this, and every time that you do it, you will sense within yourself an expansion of your own inner world, your own inner ability to think clearly. Because who's in control? If these forces of bursting out in laughter or bursting out with anger or saying a jabbing comment at someone, if they control you, then honestly, you feel a sense of, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Which makes you feel restricted afterwards. It makes you feel small. makes you feel pathetic to some degree. Yes, it's nice that everyone's laughing and joking and you feel like your ego is puffed out, but your inner world, you feel like, probably shouldn't have said that. Okay, I'll remember before Yom Kippur to apologize then. Maybe I'll even be big and I'll say it soon. I'll say it tomorrow. I'll say it tonight. Maybe. But your inner world is restricted. You can sense it. And when you pause and you have Yirat Shamayim and you're able to just like calmly say an appropriate thing without the inner, without those base forces controlling you, but you're in control of them, the opposite happens. You say, wow, Baruch Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me that moral compass. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me the strength to hold myself back from saying something which would have harmed someone else or been inappropriate or harmed myself. Thank you, Hashem. I really appreciate it. And you feel your inner world expand. You feel you're able to make clearer decisions, understand Torah in more depth, speak to Hashem in tefillah with a more open inner world because you're in control. You're in controlling your forces. They're not controlling you. Kach nivchenet hayira. And that's how you can tell within yourself if you have Yirat Shamayim. According to the degree that you're working on this and you're being more and more successful in this area of having self-restraint in areas where a base force comes and tells you to do something and you're able to say, no, that's not what I want to do. I'm in control here. I'm the boss. I'm the king. I'm in control. And you're able to have control. That's your own inner recognition of your Yirat Shamayim. That's how you know. No one else can necessarily tell that. They can a little bit because they can see that you burst out laughing, but they don't know how much of a challenge it is for you. Were you able to even stop or was it, you know, out of your realm entirely? But you can tell for yourself your level of Yirat Shamayim, or you know how you're progressing, let's say, in Yirat Shamayim by your ability to have self-restraint in those areas which you afterwards would have regretted otherwise. Masat nafsho shel adam torahi lihiyot gadur b'halichotav. And therefore, the path that we're taking in Yirat Shamayim, the inner path, masat nafsho, the inner path of one's soul. If you say, are you improving in yeshiva? Yes. How do you know? I've got to page Mem Dalad in Psachim. Okay, you've done well in yeshiva. You've turned over lots of pages. Well done. What about your inner world? My inner world? How does one judge that? It's kind of airy-fairy, you know? Like, it's just kind of puffy. It's just like, how does one know if they're advancing in their inner world? How do you tell? I can tell in pages of a book, but how do I tell in my inner world? So it says the Aleisho, Masat Nafsho Shel Adam Torahi, the path of one's soul, of a Torah Jew, is Liot Gadur B'Halichotav, as he sees himself progressing in putting boundaries in his ways. Not as, it could be in Halacha, and it could be in Midas. But as you see yourself being more and more successful in you controlling the inner world, you having self-restraint, that's how you see the path is growing. And really, if someone who's authentic would ask you, how are you doing? I don't know if you want to share this or not, because it might be arrogant, but you could authentically answer, at least to yourself, you could answer, Baruch Hashem, I'm doing well. The kind of comments that I would make when I started in yeshiva, I don't make anymore. The kind of seconds or thirds that I would take in yeshiva, I don't take anymore. The kinds of jokes that I make about people, to people, I do still make occasionally, but I'm much more in control of myself than I was when I started yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, I'm growing. I can tell that my Yirat Shamayim is expanding and I'm growing. And I'm really grateful to Hashem for that. It's been a healthy process that I've gone through in yeshiva. That's how you tell. Zeh ha-chinuch li-yira. And that's how you train yourself in yira. Likvoa la-tzmo gedarim. Recognize areas that you feel not in control. And then say, that's the next area I'm working on. I'm going to make a boundary. I'm not going to burst out laughing when I see someone failing, falling, making a mistake. That's my project I'm working on now. And therefore, I'll still fail the first few times maybe because, you know, it's a new stage, a new process. I haven't worked on it until now. It's likely that it won't be perfect round one and two and three and four and five. But at least with more and more rounds, once I've made it conscious, I will take more and more control of this area. And as you do that, the Derech Eretz, over mitzvot, you'll see that your Yirat Shamayim will expand. Your relationship with Hashem will be more authentic. You'll feel a connection to Hashem because you're working towards Hashem. You're more in control. You're able to think about topics that you wish to speak, think about, not those ones that just pop into your mind without you inviting them. Amnam, his harun mipnei avoda b'midot terem nakir tatzmeinu. מפני חומרות ומצוות למי שאינו גדול בתורה. אולם כאן מדובר בגדרים שהן מסוג הלכות דרך ארץ. בהנהגת אדם עם גופו, בעת אכילתו, ובוא במגע עם חברו. So even though it's true, he's just making a clause here, even though it's true that we have said that you shouldn't start taking on big projects yet of your inner world before you're aware of yourself deeply, and you know your character traits, and you know your strengths, and you know your weaknesses. That's true, and we're going to speak about that in the next chapter, next section. We get to Da'at Atzmo. That's true. But this is something broad enough and general enough that you can work on and you're not going to harm yourself. It's very safe. anything to do with Derech Eretz, how you relate to your body, like not overeating, how you relate to other people, like the way you speak to them, that's something which you can be rest assured that you're able to work on, and you'll be safe, you won't go out of those boundaries. So project for everyone here to take on. Think of an area which you feel you're not always in control of yourself. You do something which you regret doing afterwards, but you weren't necessarily conscious of before. Could be that the way you lash out at someone, like he gave the example. Could be the way that you eat without out of control, which he didn't give an example of. Could be the way that you laugh at someone. Those types of areas. And then say, okay, that's fine. That's where I'm at now. It's good that I'm aware of it. What would be the next stage of having Yirat Shamayim? Of putting a boundary around myself? Create some sort of a goal. Create some sort of a timeline of by when you'd like to work on that. And then just start the process. Now, you'll adapt it as you go along, of course. Because, yeah, you know, you're just guessing now. You're guessing how long it will take. You're guessing, you don't know exactly. But make it a project. Take one specific area that you wish to advance in Yirat Shamayim, and that will be the project for the next 6 weeks. Until the end of the month. Yashar Koach.